Okay, hello hustlers. It's Kate here. This is the episode where I'm going to be reading out some of the stories that you guys have sent into the Instagram. Update on me first though. I am in Berlin. And I haven't worked yet, but I'm planning to maybe at the end of this week or next week. And I'm going to give stripping a go, and I've also signed up to seeking arrangements again, so that's great. I find that website so hilarious because, I don't know, you just like that initial like setup of the account and then you get like a flood of messages. Anyway, it's always fun. Anyway, so yeah, at the moment I'm just chilling. I'm a bit like jet lagged, so I feel I'm in like a almost surreal state of mind. So yeah, like you're probably like not on my level right now because I am feeling so jet lagged. So, you know, that's fine. That's fine. Jet lag is a drug, guys. Can you imagine, like, let's just think about this as a concept. If like jet lag was addictive and like people thought that it made them high or something, that's insane. Can't believe I just thought of that. All right. Anyway, I'm going to start from just like the first message. A few people have said that they wanted to be a part of it, but they haven't sent me anything yet. I'm still going to include this. This is just me reading out the stories I've received so far, and then I will stop it and I'll start it again when the other people have sent their stories in so that everyone can get a little read out. All right, here we go. Hehe, my story is short and sweet. This is my most memorable date ever, and we didn't even have sex. I once went to meet an older Indian gentleman for an intro date when I knew he was working privately. I already knew he was rich because he offered me $200 for a drink, no strings attached, and then admitted on the date that he owned 23 French bulldogs and had two part-time vet nurses who helped him look after them. He lived alone. He showed me photos of them all, and I asked him if any of his friends and family were like, "You need to stop, hun." And he was like, "Yep, I just love them too much." Never. All right. So she never ended up seeing him again because he was a little older than her comfort level. Yeah, fair. That's insane. What? 23 French bulldogs, like who does that? I mean, I do understand the need for dogs. I do love dogs. 23 and like two nurses to take care of them all, like what is going on? I don't know, it's just a lot of dogs, dude. And then what did she say? They're so expensive and super inbred. Oh, it was a man on seeking arrangements. Oh, great. Good things to look forward to. Oh, man. 23 French bulldogs. Okay. All right. Here we go. Got a story from one of my friends. Okay. My funniest story is when I was working at a sex shop while stripping. I'd finish my store job and walk down the street and start my stripping shift. At the end of one of my first few shifts at the store, the old spin king himself, Shane Warne, came in. All right, so this is getting pretty juicy now, guys. So Shane Warne came in. He had me close the whole shop so he could do some private shopping. Ended up spending quite a bit, which was nice. While I was bagging up his items, he asked about the lubes kept behind the counter. And I ended up selling one to him. As I went to bag it too, he asked me to let him bowl the lube into the bag. Yep. Normal. Normal behavior. I didn't know how to say no to Warnie, so I nodded and handed him the bottle. He asked me to step back and he fully did a run up and bowled the bottle of lube into the bag filled with sex toys. good. I love that people are like this in real life. That's insane. Good. That's, you know, that's about all that I've ever hoped for Shane Warne to be, is to bowl lube into a bag of sex toys in a sex shop. That's great. I love that for him, you know? okay, what? Oh, yeah. He then mentioned that he was staying in the hotel next door and was keen to have some fun tonight. Oof. And I recommended the strip club I'd be at after I closed up shop and saw him there later that... And after I closed up shop and saw him there later that night, he tipped me for the help. Oh, okay. And Shane Warne was almost as hectic as when Shannon Knoll came in and got kicked out. Oh, love it. What is it with men with the word Shan in their names? Like, you've got Shane Warne, Shan in the Shane, and Shannon, Shan in the first part of Shannon. Just thought I would explicate that. You know, these two Shans, Shan. Does it make men kind of insane or just... No, not insane. But it just makes them a bit, you know, funny in a good way. We laugh with them and also at them. But we also respect them to the degree that, you know, is required to be respect. Anyway, let's get on. I feel like every time I... make a statement about men in general, I'm like, oh no, wait, don't like say that as if that's, you know, the entire truth and you know the entire truth. Like, I'm never gonna know the entire truth. But anyway, yeah, cool. What's next? Oh, yes. All right, so I have a guy that believes there are ghosts in my club and the ghost embodied him once and I had to argue with him being the ghost. I once had to stop the ghost beating him up too. Yes, he was attacking himself. Look, I didn't... I know that this is like obviously just... Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. Just like as a note... I didn't want this to be like, oh, funny, weird stories about clients to like highlight how weird they are, because like most of the time they're fairly normal. I just wanted it to be like sharing stories, but this is just like the two stories that I've just read out are just insane. Like maybe clients are a little strange, but that's okay. Like no hate, you know. I've met like plenty, there are like plenty of boring like guys that just don't go to brothels. So I guess all the cool ones do. Okay. So yeah, I asked if he had like any issues and he doesn't. He's just a bit socially inept and attacked himself as a ghost. That's like intense. That's just intense. I reckon that would be really intense to like... look at. Oh, there's another one. Last night I had a guy decide he wanted to give me the lap dance and proceeded to role play as a fireman and then changed to a lion and crawled on the floor at me, then turned around, sat on me and reverse dry humped me. I had to cover my mouth from laughing so hard. Oh my God. Oh, wow. I like that, actually. I mean, maybe invading some space. Yeah, but, you know, hilarious. Very hilarious. Oh, You guys have been like, I got like a complaint about the sound, and I totally understand because I'm just doing this on my iPhone. So I should definitely, yeah, I'm gonna, oh, fuck. Yeah, I'm gonna get a microphone, I think, in Berlin. I don't know. Yeah, I think I'll get one, I guess. Yeah, someone said last night, actually a fan of Hustlers who I met up with, said that my voice was really nice, so thanks. I've been thinking about it all day. All right, okay, next one. Ooh, okay. So this person is called Maggie. Maggie Sugars, and one time she had a first intimacy where she spent the first chunk of time watching Cars 3, the straight to Netflix Pixar sequel to Cars, a film about talking automotive vehicles. He then extolled upon me the good life lessons this movie holds and showed me his collection of American highway signs, which were admittedly a little cool. We had sex for less than 10 minutes and it was shit. This was expected. He then gave me my money and threw me a bonus. I think I've just changed from like she to me, which is just hilarious that I've changed the pronouns like that. But anyway, sorry, that's probably confusing for you all. Anyway, it was weird. Oh, he gave me my money and threw in a $20 Lush gift card. It was weird. I never saw him or his luxury high-risk condo ever again. Just another day in the life. Oh, right, luxury high-rise. I just read that. I was like, luxury high-risk condo. I was like, what does that mean? Like, that sounds insane. Like, probably only billionaires know what a high-risk condo is. And I want to know, but, you know, maybe I just never will. But no, she meant high-rise. High-rise condo. Awesome. Yeah, that's insane that you watch Cars 3 with a client. I love it. As I said, good. Watch that. It probably does have some great life lessons. Like, I feel like all the straight-to-DVD, straight-to-Netflix, I guess, is we're going to say now because there are no DVDs. Yeah, I feel like all of those straight-to-Netflix... But you could say straight to Stan, straight to Amazon. Like, do we just automatically say... Anyway, that's a question for another time. Anyway, yes, all these straight to Netflix movies have got some good life lessons, you know? I'm sure that they do. There's something about, you know, a shit movie that's just shit that has, you know, interesting things to say. All right. What do we have next? Ooh, is that... Oh, no, wait, we've got another one. All right. The other day I had to get fake married with a client because of his religion being Muslim. So before we started, we had to do a ceremony where we exchanged vows by saying a line each and agreeing that we were to be together for the space of the hour. And then I was given $5 as a form of dowry. We then started our booking, and at the end, we also both had to say a line so that we could get divorced. I mean, like, it's funny, but it's like fair. I mean, like, if that's their religion, that's fine, isn't it? Yeah. Like, I don't really see how that would harm. That's just like how they're gonna see sex workers, I guess. I mean, anyway, yeah, that's fun. That's fun. Also, this person is comfortable with sharing the following story as encouragement for girls to contact the police when necessary and not be afraid of what might happen. Okay. Yes. So we're probably going to go into a serious story now. And so I'm going to caution you guys that it's maybe potentially triggering, I suppose. All right. About a year ago, I had a booking with a guy and he wanted a natural service, either sex or head. I can't remember. But either I wasn't comfortable with or would, but neither I was, okay, sorry, but neither I was not comfortable with either or would never do. Okay. Anyway, he was trying to bargain with me and offering me extra money. And I said, you can't put a price on my health like that. I said, that's the rules. And if you don't respect that, then I think you should leave. He then finished and came out and said he wanted a refund. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't give that to you as we did do stuff and my agency manager won't allow it. He then got really angry and took my glasses off, off the bedside table and said, you'll get these back when I get my money back. I then got off the bed and tried to grab them off him. He then pushed me back on the bed and I got back up and started yelling at him and pushed him against the wardrobe. Honestly, can't even remember what was said. And then he punched me in my jaw, threw the glasses at me and ran out the door. I then called my manager straight away and she contacted the hotel security as they have some kind of agreement / negotiation about working there. Anyway, she then came back to say that she couldn't find him or they couldn't find him on any security footage, which this person finds a load of bullshit. What kind of 4-star hotel wouldn't have such good security cameras in case of dangers, etc. And then she, has not continued to work because of this, which I'm just... Okay, so her manager also discouraged her from working with the police. That's a really sad story. Obviously these kinds of things can happen in the industry, which really sucks. The moral of the story is don't be afraid to call the police. I mean, obviously the only thing about that is, are the police actually going to help? Because they've, I don't know, can they help or not? But maybe just take from the sentiment that don't be afraid to go and seek help for your situation. And don't not do it because of the manager or whatever. That sort of thing can really happen in the industry and it can be triggering, and all of those things. And it's just awful, that it happens. So yeah, I'm really sorry that it did happen to this person. And if it has happened to any of you who are listening right now, now we've got a lighter story coming up. Cool. All right. I do mostly online sex work, which very occasionally includes text-based role-play games. One such client began by asking me if I would like him to set the scene. Since the timer was already on, I obviously said yes. Getting themselves to do all the talking so I can be lazy and watch a movie in the background is my specialty. Fair enough. I love that. I want to do this. Sex work texting. All right. He was typing for a really long time before he finally sent through this incredible wall of text. It was 4 to 5 long paragraphs of really detailed high fantasy with heaps of completely non-sexual context for his character's backstory. Long story short, he was an orc warrior and I was a troubled young elf. The elves had once been genocidal dictators, but it had been long since that time, and now the orcs had taken over. I was some kind of sex slave. I'm pretty sure he's writing a fantasy novel. I love that for him. Although, I mean, is it problematic to if you're writing a story and then you're using sex workers' words on the text? Anyway, that's just me thinking. That's insane though. Love it. We'll be playing Lord of the Rings, I guess. Sexy Lord of the Rings. All right. Now another person has sent in a good experience and a not so good experience. Okay. So my fantastic experience was my last shift before I took some time off for my surgery. This young guy came in, slightly older than me, maybe 23. He was super cute and he was the only guy on the floor at the time, so I talked to him for ages because he was super funny. I then got booked by another guy, and when I came out an hour later, the first guy was still there and he's like, I'm booking you and your friend, let's go. And it was probably the most fun I've had in my work or personal sex life. I've never met someone who can multitask like that. Oh my God, yes, love it. I love having good sex at the brothel. Doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, it's like, it's fucking great. You know, especially when they give you a massage after. I love it. It's good. Yeah, fantastic. I love it. All right, now we're going to go to the not so good story. A while ago when I first started and was kind of vulnerable, I had this older guy book me, super tattooed and pierced, but he was lovely. He was going too hard and I didn't have it in me to tell him to slow down because I just wanted him to finish, but he didn't. He ended up going so hard that the condom came off and was pushed all the way up. A few days later, I started getting the worst symptoms and I went to a sexual health nurse and she told me she found a blister, so I freaked out. I got my results and it was just a yeast infection. Moral of the story, don't freak out until you know for certain. Just make sure you get checked. Fuck, that is scary. That's happened to me a few times where the condom has broken and it's like... it's like, sorry. Oh, I'm losing my voice. It's, yeah, it's fucking terrifying. And to have that blister as well, like, I think... yeah, I would have had an actual panic attack. But yeah, I guess that is a really good moral of the story, you know, make sure you get checked before you freak out. I think I always freak out before I get checked. I'm like, fuck, I've got something, yada yada. And it's like, oh, you've got thrush or a yeast infection again. And I'm like, oh wait, no, that's the same thing. I mean, a UTI or a yeast infection. Those are fairly common for me. Wow, I love how I've just gone from reading someone else's story to like talking about my own sexual vagina issues. Yeah, cool, good. That's me for you. Yeah, but I also hate when guys in the booking don't just do what you say, like, or just like listen and like be aware of another person's boundaries. Like, it's anyway. Ugh. All right, do we have any more? I think that is actually it for now anyway. Okay, ready for the next batch of stories that have been sent in to me. Okay. Where did I leave off last time, actually? Oh, here we go. All right. I'm a Sydney-based stripper, and we have a regular at our club who is neither good nor bad, just kinda entertaining. For privacy's sake, I'm gonna call him Charlie. Charlie comes in a couple of times every week. He's not really anyone's regular. He prefers to take a new girl each time, or at least rotate around, so that there's at least a month between him taking the same girl for a show. And he usually goes for half-hour shows. I had my first show with Charlie last week. He prefers that you don't dance for him. He likes you to lie on the little podium in the private room with your legs spread in the air so that he can get a full view, and likes to talk to your pussy like it's a literal cat and meow at it. That just made me think of that vine that's like the old guy that meows at the egg. Only the egg is your vagina. Yeah, cool. So he also likes for you to have a conversation with him while lying like that, but like make your vagina talk, kind of like an X-rated version of the talking tummy trick. Oh my God, that's insane. I mean, not really insane. It's I like it, it's fun. I mean, I think vaginas should have voices. You know, they are lit. They're just, you know, you got to let a vagina talk anyway. Anyway, I'm going on a bit of a tangent there. Let's get back on track. Right, next story. I do out calls, and I used to have a regular that would book for an hour and send me on my way with a little to-go container of sushi and an ice cream bar. Also almost always made me come. Oh, amazing. I mean, that's what we want, is an orgasm and some sushi. I mean, if not the sushi, maybe a tip, like whatever works, but I'll take sushi. I mean, like, what am I going to buy with my tip anyway? I'm probably going to buy sushi. But yeah. Oh, I do love the stories of good clients. That's nice. It is nice. You know, clients aren't all weird guys. There are some weird stories in here and we're having a little laugh, but you know, clients are regular dudes, you know, and sometimes they're just going to buy you some sushi and make you come. And that's fucking good. I love it, you know. All right, next story. Oh, it's a long one. I hope you guys like my story time voice, by the way. Okay. I had just gotten to work and the bartender grabs me before I even got changed and was like, yo, I got a 30-minute VIP for you. Hurry up and get on the floor. Me and the bartender are chill, so he will talk me up sometimes. I was fucking pumped because money. I was also not completely awake because I was coming in for a day shift. I still had my coffee and the barista was my only social interaction for the day so far. Yep, big mood. But I quickly got dressed or undressed and went downstairs. He was a super scrawny white dude in button up and khakis. Pretty average. Yeah, well, I mean, you can't even see him. I hate myself for saying that. Sorry. Okay, let's continue with reading this. Okay, so he was a super scrawny white dude with button-up and khakis. Pretty average. When we got into the VIP room, I started to begin the dance. But he stopped me and told me he just wanted somebody to hang out with. Yeah. I mean, yeah, good. I wasn't going to complain. No, don't complain. I mean, that's it. He pulled out some coke and lined up two lines and offered me a line. When I turned it down, he did both and started talking about his divorce. And 5 minutes in, he is sobbing uncontrollably, like snot and shit. And the whole time I'm trying to console him, and he was really only calming down enough to do more coke. Okay, this is quickly escalating into a shit show. And this cry went on for the whole time. Like he was meltdown crying, the type that you only do locked in your room when no one's home. Then at the very end, he wiped his snot and with fucking tears in his eyes and on his face still with some puppy dog eyes, asks if he can finger me. Imagine putting on a whole, no, you know what? I think this guy is legitimate. Like he's clearly torn up and like when clients are all emotional, you know, I'm not going to laugh. Don't think I'm going to, just because I'm laughing now doesn't mean that I laugh at clients when they're all emotional with me in the room. I'm a very empathetic person, or at least Kate is. Yeah, but like, I feel like this is, imagine just like pretending to be sad and like, you know, taking coke to sort of, I don't know, either make you sadder or make you more confident, and then just asking if you can finger. Okay, anyway. All right. When I told him no, that's against the rules. If you were looking that, there are ranches around here you can visit. He melted down all over again, sinking back into the couch crying. The time was up and I wasn't sure what to do next, so I just kind of left. You could hear his cries all the way out there, and the dancers who were giving lap dances in the back got to listen to him for the duration of their songs. I hate when people cry in front of me. That's not my thing, and I feel bad for the dude because clearly he was in a dark place, but it was a roller coaster for all of us. I mean, yeah, like going to a strip club to try and finger a stripper and take coke and cry is not my idea of a fun night, but maybe for other people, that's what they do. And that's cool. But yeah, like he was clearly, yes, as this person said, clearly in a dark place. And, you know, we're not teasing. It's just, it's funny objectively, you know. I feel like I'm, you know, I'm just going to stop explaining myself. I'm just going to chat. Okay. Next story. I used to have this regular client who was so sweet and so nice. A great client, but his English wasn't great. He told me he liked Australian girls, but in the booking he would always watch porn on his phone of girls in hijabs getting cum on their face. He was born in Lebanon, and every time he would come, he would scream, "Bring me to freedom," which I later found out is because he used to be Muslim, but he isn't anymore, and by coming he was being freed. He was a nice client, but I always found that funny. Yeah, that's, yeah, I guess sex and religion, maybe, yeah, sex is the way out of religion, I suppose, for some. Yeah, that's, it is interesting and kind of funny though. Oh, the experiences you have. All right, next. Okay, oh, another relatively long one. Soz, if this is all over the place. I had a client once who wanted to be dommed and pegged. As we move forward, it became very apparent he has never even put a finger in his ass, let alone the massive strap-on dildo be brought in. He would get annoyed if I didn't go quickly enough between activities. He brought over $300 worth of gear and booked 90 minutes, eager to get his money's worth. Okay. I tried to explain sexily. Yeah, explaining sexily is, that's a skill to master, that if he wanted to have his ass fucked, he had to let me warm it up. Sure enough, he demands he's ready a half an hour in, so I began pegging him, bent over the bed. Of course, he struggled to take any more than an inch or two. Fast forward 10 minutes and three positions later, he hops off, announces he's going to shower, then he wants to fuck me. As he is close to finishing, he whispers in my ear he wants to tell me his real name. I figure he wants me to ask. As I begin to ask what it is, he screams out, "Wes," at the top of his lungs, comes, and then proceeds to tell me he's been microdosing LSD every day for the past few months and just may have taken too much that day. Oh my God. That's, I love it. Was that, yeah, Wes. I'm thinking Wes Anderson. I don't know. I mean, that's what I think when I read Wes, I think Wes Anderson. So now I'm thinking that that's what Wes Anderson does during sex. Yeah, which maybe that would make sense. I don't know. Tell me your opinion on that. Do you think this guy is Wes Anderson? Just as like a conceptual... Okay, anyway. Microdosing LSD. Yeah, I have a client who's microdosing LSD as well. It's kind of funny, actually. He's a really nice guy. Ended up with a cash tip and got to keep all the sex toys. So all in all, not bad and a good story. Yeah, that's a good story. That's like nothing bad happened. He was just a little funky. amazing. All right, next story. The other day I had this guy who right after he came, he said, "Fresh avocado," like fresh avocado, but "fresh avocado," "fresh avocado," and then asked if I knew what vines were. I can't get over it. Okay. Oh, the vine. Yeah. That's a vine. If you didn't know that, that's "fresh avocado" is a vine. It's not actually my favorite vine, and it's very interesting that that's what that guy said. But you know what? You might as well just say what you're thinking. As long as it's respectful, yada yada. I just mean, if it's something totally bizarre, why not just say "frey shavakadu"? Yeah. Okay. Next one. I was on the stage and I noticed a guy making sexy money eyeballs at me. So after I danced, I went over. He bought me a few drinks and I was trying to figure him out. We went for a dance and he told me he was really dirty. A good tip is if the guy says that, I usually say, "Oh right, into scat." That's a fucking good tip. Yeah, because, yeah, with a smile, because they'll either be impressed at your blasé-ness at hard sports, or they will open up to you because they feel anything else is less hardcore and you'll understand. Yeah, exactly. That's a really good tip. I'm going to use that. I'm going to ask my clients if they're into scat. Just like without even knowing if they say, if even if they don't say they're into anything like different, I'm just going to be like, are you into scat? All right. So this guy has the usual reaction, which is what? No, not scat, just pee. The other hole. The smaller one. And I'm giving the, okay, pee is sexy spiel. Anyway, turns out he's actually into holding pee and the pain that it presents. I'm dancing, pretending to hold my pee, and throughout the night I'm walking past him being like, who's going to piss themselves first, you or me? Oh my God, I love. That's cool. And he tips me each time. Cool. Suddenly he disappears and a dancer goes to sit in his place by his friends and says, oh fuck's sake, that guy spilled his drink everywhere. And that is the tale of how I made a guy do a colossal ocean piss in a strip club for lots of money. I think I've heard a few stories about pissing in the strip club. I've got to say I feel like it's a common occurrence for some reason. I love this story. Yeah. FYI, I never thought that he would actually piss himself in the club. Okay, yeah, fair. Yeah, like if you knew he was going to do that, you probably wouldn't let him just sit down. And he was obviously just waddling around with a bucket of pee in his belly. And he was like, well, I guess I'll just piss it out on the couch, because that's what any normal upstanding citizen would do at a strip club. And this person helped clean it up and said nothing. How he walked past everyone with absolutely sodden pants and no one noticed, I'll never know. We will never know. We'll never know. It's just, it's crazy. Okay, the next story is, I once got paid $700 plus just to pop a guy's acne on his back. Nothing else, which I love doing. So that was a dream come true. Oh my God. $700 is that's a lot of, I mean, I am imagining a big pimple. Or was it just a lot of acne? Or did he just really like you to squeeze his skin and like have the popping? I don't know. It's interesting though. I don't like popping acne. I don't even like popping my own. Although actually, I don't like popping my own on my face because I'm too like self-conscious about it now. I'm like, oh, I don't want to make my face all red. But, you know, I'll pop it on my leg or where do I get them? Sometimes I get them on my, on my chest. That's it. I was like, where do I get pimples? Yeah, I get pimples on my chest and on my face, but I don't really pop them. Sometimes I do. All right. Okay. Next story. One time I got paid $900 to pretend to kill some guy's dad and then to pretend to have him kidnapped. And he had to do what I said. And I walked on him in my pleasers and he humped the floor and then he left. Oh my God. I love that a lot. I like that. I have always wanted to walk on someone in my pleasers. I do feel like it would cripple them, in the way that I'm thinking anyway, just like standing on them, you know, maybe put the heels on their dick, perhaps, or their eyeballs. I don't know. That was insanely aggressive of me. No. Okay. Once I did a boat job, and I knew about coke, about doing coke off strippers' asses. Excuse me, was like the cool thing to do. But someone literally poured coke in this stripper's asshole and snorted it. And all I could think about is all the nasty poo particles they were sniffing up. I guess. Yeah. I mean, yeah, fair enough. That's, I guess, what they do. Probably, I'm picturing like Dan Bilzerian, just like lining up all of the girls and putting lines of coke inside their assholes, and then sniffing everyone, just like sniffing all of their assholes with the coke. And then he like gets his GoPro or whatever he takes to like film those stupid videos. And then he jumps in the, anyway, whatever. I don't know why I had to explain my vision, which wasn't very amusing, but anyway. Once my ex-boyfriend's dad walked into the brothel while I was working, what I was working at once, while he was in jail. So, okay. So did the dad break out of jail to go to a brothel, or while her ex-boyfriend is in jail, his dad walked into this person's brothel. Yeah. Okay. That would be that. Yeah. That's a shock to the system. I hope that you're okay. God, I hope he didn't see you or whatever. Ugh. That hasn't happened to me yet. Okay, what have we got next? Once a guy paid me to insult him because of his race. It was a really hard booking, and I was finding it hard to be racist. So he gave me a few suggestions like, just tell me you think my mum's probably a nail technician, or that I'm a really bad driver, or something. Weirdest shit ever, probably wouldn't do it again, to be honest. Oh my God. I've never really thought that, like, well, not, I mean, like, it's as an idea, it has come across my mind, but I haven't, like, thought too much about it and maybe, like, the psychology behind it, but, like, having, like, someone be racist to you as a fetish, which, like, I bet it probably, yeah. I would not like doing that. I've had like one where a guy wanted me to be homophobic. And it does make you uncomfortable, but it's interesting, you know? I don't mean to sound like, oh, it's so interesting. I like to pretend to be racist, ha ha. I just mean like, I guess I just wonder where it all comes from, the fetishization of that. Anyway, all right, next story. I've been in the sex industry for 3 years now, stripping in full service, and now that I've sat down to write something, I've gone blank. Yeah, that's how I feel when I do this podcast. Somehow I still manage to get up to get an episode out every week though. So yeah. All right. 3 shifts deep into a new brothel, I got sent out on my first out call to a residential address in Sydney. When I got there, it was a dinghy. Okay. I feel like I'm going to get hate, but do you say dingy or dingy? Okay. I don't know. I could look it up, or I could ask you guys to tell me how to say it and then publish this podcast and then wait for like the three of you who go all the way through to the end of the episode, and they'll then tell me how to pronounce dingy or dingy. Okay, anyway, continuing. When I got there, it was a dingy studio apartment with no sheets on the bed and condom wrappers everywhere. Fuck, ew. He paid for 4 hours in advance, but an hour in, a girl walked in and said to us, get out, I need this space for a client in 5 minutes. So this guy had outcalled me under a company and was using a private sex worker's studio or workplace for the booking. Oh my God. The audacity. Like, just go to a brothel. I took him back to the brothel where he just jerked off and talked about having sex with men for 3 hours. No complaints. Yep, fair enough. Sounds good. All right. Last story, everybody. Although I'll just refresh. See if no. This is the last story, guys. Okay. I'm a stripper in Brisbane. Had a customer squeeze my butt while I was at the bar, and I told him he's supposed to tip me. He chucked $115 in my face and was eating a Kit Kat, spitting it in my face as he told me to tell him that he's a pervert and a degenerate and how I'm dumb because I'm a stripper. I just stared and said no. He then asked if I would arm wrestle him. I then walked away. Literally the weirdest cunt, and was wearing this horrendous fake Louis Vuitton polo. He proceeded to do the same thing to all the girls, but we all got money, so meh. Oh. Yeah, I can't believe someone would spit at you through eating a Kit Kat. Ew. And also, I love how this person has just been like, no, I'm not going to, you know, cater to this fantasy because that's not what I want to do right now. So fuck you. I'm just going to take that tip anyway. Like, good. Love it. Wearing horrendous fake Louis Vuitton polo is great. I wish more clients would wear those. Jokes. All right. Okay, I think those are all the stories that have been sent in so far. I'm thinking I might do this again, actually, because it was really fun for me. And I feel like it's a good way for me to sound less awkward when I'm recording by myself. Okay, cool. Got that out. All right. Well, anyway, thank you for listening. If you have listened all the way through, that's really nice. And yeah, let me know if you want me to do an episode like this again, and I will. I'll probably do it anyway. But, you know, nice to hear what you think. Nice to factor that in somehow. All right. Signing out now. Goodbye. Mwah.